As our first play in the Murder for Pleasure series, we present The Case of the Frightened Lady by Edgar Wallace, adapted for broadcasting by Cynthia Pugh.
And as I was saying, Totty, I don't like the look of it at all. Oh, blast. Tanner speaking. Oh, good morning, sir. The Marks Priory case. Yes, I'm working on it now, sir. Sergeant Ferriby's just come back from his preliminary inquiry. Have I seen what? Oh, the piece in the paper this morning. Yes, I have indeed. Well, sir, we're doing our best. I can't say more. Complicated, I'll say it is. All right, sir, I'll come and see you as soon as I've had Ferriby's complete report. Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Oh, damn these pressed busybodies.
Been on the chief's tail, have they, Inspector?
You're right, they have. Now, where the hell is Ferriby? I thought he was coming straight up.
Probably stuck in the lift.
Oh, there you are, Ferriby. Well, come along inside.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm late, sir. I caught the first train, but it wasn't all that early.
I thought country folk got up with the lark.
To milk the cows, my good Totty, not to travel by train to the wicked city. All right, Ferriby, sit down and tell me how you got on. Totty, you can take notes.
Very good, sir. Well, sir, I spent a couple of days in the village and did a bit of snooping round the park where the murder was committed.
What you mean is where the body was found. Huh? Oh, it's not necessarily the same thing, my lad. All right, go on.
At the same time, I checked up on Briggs's statement.
Briggs?
Oh, the leg who said he knew something about the murder.
That's right. Says he was in the village on the night of the murder and that he actually saw the victim.
Have you seen Briggs yet, sir?
I'm having him sent over from Wormwood Scrubs. He should be here any moment. All right, go on, Ferriby. Who else is in the picture?
Well, I didn't actually go up to the Priory, sir, but I met Miss Crane down in the village.
Miss Isla Crane? Lady Lebanon's niece?
Yes, that's right, sir. A very pretty, charming young lady. And frightened out of her wits, if you ask me.
Frightened? Why?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, Totty. But one reason may be that she's got to marry young Lord Lebanon.
Got to? Who says so?
She told me so herself, sir. It's obvious she can't see anything in him. Well, nobody could. He's such a little weakling.
There's the title, don't forget, chum.
Title? Well, that wouldn't influence a girl like Miss Crane. No, charming, intelligent, beautiful.
It looks as if you've fallen for her yourself.
All right, that'll do, Totty. Kindly keep your wisecracks for when you're off duty.
When?
And let's stick to the point. So, Miss Crane's frightened, is she? Of someone or something? All right, note that, Totty.
Yes, sir.
We've got to get a move on over this case. The chief's been on to me already over this newspaper article this morning. Did you see it, Ferriby?
No, sir. My train left before the papers arrived.
Here we are. Read it out, will you? It'll help recap what we've got so far.
There is no further development in the Marks Priory mystery. Those 7 weeks have passed since the young chauffeur, William Studd, was found strangled on the lawn not 100 yards from the house. Studd had evidently been returning from a fancy dress ball which had been held in the village hall that evening. He was dressed in Indian costume. This is the 15th crime since the beginning of the year that the police have failed to solve.
You can skip that bit if you don't mind.
What puzzles me is why the Indian get-up?
He'd been to a dance, Totty, a fancy dress affair.
But why Indian? Why not a Pierrot? Something original.
Why was he killed at all?
Well, it wasn't a jealous husband or anything of that kind. I checked most carefully. He hadn't even got a girlfriend.
The body was found by Dr. Amersham.
Yes. What was he doing in the Priory Garden at 2 o'clock in the morning?
That's what I'd like to know.
Ask me, why don't you?
You?
I've been doing a bit of research on my own account, rooting about in the files and so on.
And what have you found that we don't know?
The doctor's been to India.
My good Totty, even the village policeman knows that.
Yes, but...
Dr. Amersham went out at Lady Lebanon's request to bring her son back to this country. Young Lord Lebanon had a serious go of fever.
Ah, but here's another thing.
Well?
Amersham's got a record.
What?
It's on the file. Drive into the public danger, fine £10, license endorsed.
That doesn't make the man a hardened criminal.
But
if you really want to make yourself useful, Totty, take a look outside and see if there's any sign of Briggs yet.
Very good, sir.
Thomas Henry Briggs, alias Walters, alias Thomas, alias Smith.
That's the fellow. He's done time all over the world, and now he's serving the first part of a sentence in Wormwood Scrubs for uttering forged banknotes.
What on earth was he doing in a little Sussex village? I'd have thought his kind of racket went better with back streets in big cities.
Maybe he was on his way to Brighton, or even the continent.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, he must have had some reason for making this statement.
Well, he may have read about the case in the paper. They do see them inside, don't they?
Oh, yes. He asked to see the governor and made this statement, which I've got in front of me, but I have a feeling it isn't complete.
Briggs is here, sir.
Oh, right. Bring him in.
Okay, Constable. We'll take care of him. Come along, Briggs.
But don't hurry me, Constable. Oh, I've had enough to put up with, what with this early start and all. Oh, I feel quite faint. Could I have some brandy, do you think?
Never lose hope, do you, chum?
You can have a cigarette, Briggs. Unlock those handcuffs, Totty. But I'm afraid that's the most we can do for you.
Oh, that's better.
Here, have a light.
That's all, Governor.
Now then, Briggs, I want you to expand a little on this statement of yours.
Expand?
You were in the village of Marks Thornton on the night of the murder.
I was, sir, more's a pity. That's what I made the statement about, see? Always been on the side of law, I have.
All right, all right. Get on with your story.
Yes, sir. Well, I went there for a few days for a change of air.
Oh?
I'd been poorly, see. I've been that way once before, and it's a nice little place, I thought. I put up at the White Hart, and a gentleman called in his car. Now, if he put them counterfeit notes in my bag, sir, he put them there without me knowing anything about it. Innocent I am, innocent as an unborn babe.
Nonsense. You went down there to collect some notes from a snide merchant.
Don't know what you're
talking
about.
Listen, I haven't brought you here to discuss the rights and wrongs of your sentence. I want you to tell me what you know about the Marks Priory murder. If you don't know anything about it, you can go back to the scrubs.
Well, sir, after this gentleman had called at the White Hart, I went for a bit of a stroll. It was late at night and pretty dark. I was sitting on a stile smoking my pipe when I saw a figure come along. And it gave me a regular turn.
Oh, why?
All in white it was, dressed up like an Indian.
Yeah, that'd be the man who was murdered. Was he alone?
Yes, sir. He passed me by without a sound and then turned off up a little lane. It ran along beside the field where I was sitting on the stile, if you follow me.
I do, just... I go on.
About 5 minutes after, I'd finished my pipe and I was just knocking it out when I heard a scream. It made my blood run cold, it did.
Where did it come from?
It seemed to come from the wood at the far end of the field. I hopped off the stile and looked around. And I saw a man coming towards me across the field. The moon had come out through the clouds and I could see him quite plain.
What did he look like?
About my age, he'd be, with a little brown beard, and he was puffing, rather, as though he was out of breath. I shouted, "Who's there?" And he called back, "It's all right, it's Dr. Hammersham. Here, could I have another cigarette?"
"Have one of mine."
"Oh, thank you, Sergeant."
"Just a minute. There's nothing in this statement of yours about Dr. Hammersham."
"Ah, well, now, sir, I didn't put everything in my statement, sir."
"Why?"
"Because I thought if I did, you wouldn't want to see me. And I had never seen Scotland Yard before."
"What you mean is you wanted a day out?"
"Oh, no, sir."
"Well, go on. What about Dr. Hammersham?"
"The thing is, I've got a wonderful memory for voices. And as soon as this chap spoke, I remembered him."
"You'd met him before?"
"That's right, sir. In Calcutta. We was in the same prison together."
"Dr. Hammersham was in prison?"
"Yes.
I suppose you mean he was the prison doctor?"
"No, no. Him and me was awaiting trial together. He was an army doctor, see, and he got into trouble over a check. A little matter of forging another officer's name. Talk about coincidence."
"What do you mean?"
"I was up for the same sort of thing, only he got off. I did hear the authorities squared it to avoid a scandal."
"You're not inventing this by any chance?"
"True as I'm sitting here, sir. Lester Charles Hammersham, that was his name. He was dismissed from the army."
"Cashier, do you mean?"
"Have it your own way. Don't know what became of him after that. Some said he'd gone off to Madras and married a half-caste woman. But he was all lashed up, like I said. But he was guilty, all right. And that's the fella I saw on the night of the murder."
"I see. Well, thank you, Briggs. That's all very interesting. If you'll go along now with Sergeant Totty, he'll see you get a cup of tea before they take you back to the scrubs."
"Tea? Talk about gratitude."
"That'll do. Come along now."
"No justice, no sense of common decency."
"Well, he's given us food for thought, sir."
"He has indeed. Oh, Lord. I've got a lecture to the new recruits in 20 minutes' time. The super asked me to talk to them about a typical case." "As if any case was typical."
"Well, why not talk to them about the one you're on now, sir? Be a change from ancient history like Crippen."
"My dear Ferribay, I wasn't quite old enough to be on that one."
No, of course not. But wouldn't it be more, well, interesting for them to be in on one that isn't solved yet?"
"Hmm.
You could call it the case of the frightened lady.
That'll make them sit up and take notice.
Well, I believe you've got something there.
Yes, it would refresh your memory to recap what we've got so far, and they might even have some ideas of their own.
I doubt it. But a dim-looking lot if ever I saw any. But I haven't had time to prepare anything else, so I think I'll take your advice. Come in.
Excuse me, sir. Could you see Lord Lebanon?
Lord Lebanon? Is he here, then?
He came into the superintendent's office, and the super asked if I'd bring him along to you. Very nervous, he seems.
What does he want, do you know?
No, I don't. I gather it's private.
All right, show him in. I expect you and Ferriby have got plenty to do.
Okay, sir. Would you come in, sir, please?
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning.
How do you do, Lord Lebanon?
How do you do?
Oh, Ferriby, take his lordship's hat and stick. Put them in the outer office.
Certainly, sir. Sure. Good Lord. That chap doesn't look like a detective.
No?
I'd have taken him for a gentleman.
Well, very likely he is.
Oh.
Sit down, won't you? And tell me what I can do for you.
Thank you. I take it you are the fellow in charge of this case. I seem to have seen you before.
You have indeed, Lord Lebanon. I met you when I was down at Mark's Priory. My name's Tanner, Chief Inspector Tanner.
Oh, yes, of course, I remember now. I say, do you mind seeing if there's anybody outside that door?
People don't listen outside doors of Scotland Yard, you know.
Oh, really? How on earth do you find anything out of them?
We have our methods. Why do you ask?
Well,
people listen outside doors in your home. Is that what you mean?
It's not altogether unusual. This is very embarrassing.
Embarrassing?
Well, you see, I only made up my mind last night to come to Scotland Yard, and I'm here. I don't know how to begin.
Well, let me begin, then. I certainly never expected to see you here, but since you are, I hope you'll be able to help me clear up one or two little mysteries which puzzle me.
Oh?
But you understand I've no right whatever to question you, but, well, since you've come of your own accord, I hope you'll help me.
Go on.
Well, now, there are quite a number of people at Mark's Priory who are under suspicion.
Including my mother?
In a sense, yes. I think she must know a great deal more than she's told us so far, but I'm thinking more particularly of a guest in your house, Dr. Amersham.
He's a mystery man to me, too, to be frank. I detest him.
Oh, why?
I dislike him so much, I find it difficult to be fair. Somehow or other, my mother has got herself involved with him.
Involved?
Well, all this goes back a long way, you know.
Oh, yes.
Things were different while my father was alive. He was a hopeless invalid.
I'd heard that, yes.
Never left his room for 15 years. Dr. Amersham was his medical attendant.
I see.
Well, I knew he'd been in India before that, but I didn't know then that he'd left under a cloud.
Oh?
At first, he used to strike me as rather sycophantic towards my mother and myself, but gradually a change came over him, and he became very domineering. You know, interfering in things which didn't concern him.
Yes, I understand. Well, go on.
Owing to my father's illness, things were pretty quiet at home. In fact, deadly dull. I used to dread my school holidays. I'm afraid I none of the family pride that both my mother and my father had. Mother, in particular. To her, every stone of the priory is sacred and family tradition. Well, I believe she'd die in defense of it.
Well, that feeling's not unusual in old families.
Yes, but to live with it, I tell you, it's stifling. So, when my regiment was ordered out to India, I was delighted to go, and I had a wonderful time out there. Well, when Father died, I suppose I ought to have come home, but I was enjoying myself, so I didn't. Then I had this bad attack of fever, and Mother sent Dr. Amersham out to bring me back.
Did you find things very much changed?
Terribly. Amersham was practically the master of Mark's Priory. And there were two great American toughs who were supposed to be footmen. One's called Gilder, and the other Brooks. Whatever they are, they certainly aren't footmen.
Hmm. What other changes did you find?
Well, there's my mother. She seems to be entirely under the domination of these two fellows. I can't imagine why. And finally, there's Miss Crane.
Oh, Miss Isla Crane.
Yes.
I see. Isn't she some sort of relation of yours?
That's right. A distant cousin. She's lived with us for years. Her family's desperately poor, and Mother has always made her some sort of an allowance. As a matter of fact, I'm going to marry her.
Really?
I don't particularly want to.
Oh?
Oh, she's very pretty and all that, but I don't want to marry anybody. But Mother says I've got to.
Got to? Why?
I don't know. She's a very nice girl, but there's something odd about her now.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, she's frightened, Mr. Tennant. Terrified. Ever since that infernal murder, she'd been scared out of her wits.
That's not altogether surprising.
She walks in her sleep. I've seen her. I was having a quiet drink in the hall before going to bed, and suddenly, there she was, walking slowly down the stairs in her nightdress, and her eyes wide open, staring at nothing. It was terrifying.
What exactly is she frightened of, do you think?
I don't know. Perhaps it's those two American fellows. They certainly give me the creeps. You know, if I go out of my room at night, I don't sleep very well since my illness. There they are, hanging about in the corridor. It gets on my nerves, I can tell you.
And what about Dr. Emerson?
I loathe him, as I said before. Apart from the way in which he seems to dominate my mother, there was that scandal in India.
Something about a forged check, I believe.
No, it wasn't.
Oh?
No, it was to do with a Eurasian girl. I said, do you mind seeing if there's anybody outside the door?
My dear Lord Lebanon, I assure you there isn't. Oh! And who might you be?
You must excuse me, sir.
Gilda.
His lordship left home without his cigarette case. I took the liberty of bringing it to him.
How did you know I was here?
Oh, I happened to be passing this building. I saw you going in.
Why were you listening at the door, and who allowed you to come up?
Well, the policeman on the door said his lordship had gone to see Inspector Tanner. Well, I guess I didn't remember which room he said, so I was trying to recognize his lordship's voice before disturbing you, sir. Your case, my lord. Good day, gentlemen.
Well, talk about cool. Give me a reception desk. Jackson? Inspector Tanner here. A man just left my office, a big American chap. Have him followed and report to me where he goes. Oh, which one was that?
Gilda. I tell you, one or other of them is always following me about.
Well, we've disposed of him for the moment. Let's go back to what you were telling me about Dr. Amersham and the Eurasian girl.
Well, she was found in his bungalow, strangled.
What?
It's true. And what's more, there was a piece of red cotton cloth round her neck, just like the stuff they found round my poor chauffeur, Stud.
Hmm. Very interesting. And is that why you came here, to tell me this?
Partly. And also, I don't particularly want to die, Mr. Tanner.
Do you think there's a chance of your being killed?
I don't know, but there's something going on that I don't understand. I mean, Stud's death, he was really my only friend in the house. These two American thugs, my fiancé, was obviously frightened. It all adds up to something, but I don't know what it is.
Who's the heir to your property?
Well, I always thought some cousin in America, but not long ago, Mother told me that, in fact, Isla is the heir.
Miss Crane?
That's right.
I see.
Mr. Tanner, there's a whole lot more I could tell you. Couldn't you come down to Mark's Priory yourself? I mean, I've got diaries and notes I could show you. They'd give you much more detail than I've been able to remember. Besides, you'd feel the atmosphere, and you'd know I wasn't exaggerating.
I'll come down at the end of this week.
Oh, thank you. You won't breathe a word to my mother about all this, will you? I don't want her to think I've been disloyal to her. Probably she's as much under Amersham's thumb as I am.
Don't worry, I'll be the soul of discretion. Yes?
Excuse me, sir, but the men have gone into the lecture hall. I thought I ought to tell you.
Right, Toddy. Well, if you'll excuse me, Lord Lebanon, I've got to cope with a bunch of new recruits. I'll see you at the weekend. In the meantime, try not to worry.
Thank you, Inspector. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, so much for the household at Mark's Priory. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. On the night of August the 18th, there was a fancy dress ball down in the village. Stud, the chauffeur, and three other servants attended that ball dressed in homemade costumes. Stud chose that of an Indian.
Why, sir?
Why? Well, he'd been a soldier and had served in India. He may have brought back an Indian costume. Anyway, he knew how to make himself look like an Indian. Okay?
Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Stud left the ball rather late and was seen by the village constable. He was also seen, just before he went into the field, by a man whom I interviewed this morning. Stud was found next morning, strangled with this. Now, as you can see, it's a piece of red cotton cloth of Indian manufacture. Now, notice the little metal tag in the corner. It's the trademark of the maker. Now, the body was found between two groups of rhododendrons and had evidently been dragged there by the murderer. Now, the only other person in the field that night, and why he was there nobody knows, but I'm going to find out, was Dr. Amersham. He had also at one time served in India. Yes, what is this, Sergeant Totty?
Beg pardon, sir. Urgent message.
Well, it can wait a minute. Amersham had a bad record. And when you come to examine the murder of Stud, you have to realize that not only was the doctor in Marks Thornton, but that he was actually in the field and seen there a few minutes after the murder was committed. In fact, everything points to him.
Not now, it don't.
Will you shut up? The body was discovered in bushes about 50 yards from the west wing.
Almost exactly where they found the body of Dr. Amersham half an hour ago.
What?
He'd been strangled.
All right, quiet. I'm sorry to have to break off here, but you understand the position. Disperse as quietly as you can. Totty, get Ferriby and meet me at the car. We must go down to Mark's Priory right away.
Hey, Brooks.
Yeah?
How much longer we got to hang around here?
I don't know. All I know is Lady L said to repair to the scene of the crime and wait and see what happens.
Wants us to keep an eye on the text from London and then report back to her.
That's right. London. What I wouldn't give to be there. This place gets me down.
Oh, we're paid well to be here. Anyway, we couldn't go back to the States. You know very well there'd be a hot seat waiting for the pair of us.
All right, still? After all these years?
You know the FBI. They never let up on a case. God, the police are just the same in England. You can be sure of that.
Well, that's what I don't like about it, Gilda. There's such a thing as extradition. And if we're caught over this little affair...
Pipe down, can't you? Here. Have a cigarette.
Oh, thanks, chump. Beats me, you know.
What does?
His lordship running off this morning like that. Lady L was mad as hell when I told her.
Yeah. It's lucky we spotted him making for the station. You know, I only just managed to nip into the train as it was pulling out. He nearly spotted me at Victoria. And I had to pretend to be tying my shoelace.
What made you think he was going to Scotland Yard?
I didn't know where he was going. He got into a taxi. Well, luckily, there was another one on the rank, so I hopped in and I said, follow that cab.
I thought that only happened in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, I nearly dropped dead when I realized where we landed up. Scotland Yard. I sure didn't want to go in there. Well, I pitched a yarn to the fellow at the desk, and he swallowed it.
Were you followed back here, do you think?
Nah. I told you before, these guys, they're pretty slow off the mark. Well, look at the time they're taking to get here.
Well, I wish they'd step on it. It's cold hanging around in this wood.
You got cold feet. That's what's the matter with you.
Is that a car? Listen.
No. Now, you think too much, Brooks. All you got to do is keep calm, like me. Don't shake like that. Nobody's going to kill you.
That's a car coming now.
Yeah. I'll take a peek through the hedge. See if I can see them. Yeah. Yeah, this'll be them. It's a big black sedan with a wireless aerial. They're cruising slowly along, looking for the gate. We better get undercover. Stub out your cigarette, you fool. They might see the smoke.
Yeah, okay, yo.
Come on in here. Yeah, the cover's nice and thick. We can get out through the wood when the coast's clear. Nip back to the house.
Well, this is the place, all right. You got the gardener's statement with you, Totty?
Yes, sir. Back gate leading to the greenhouses. That'll be this one. About 50 yards in by some rhododendron bushes. Over there, sir.
Look.
There's a chap waving.
Oh, one of the local coppers.
All right, officer, we're on our way.
Well, it's a clear case of strangulation. You got the photographs, Totty?
Yes, sir. Made a good job of them, that local chap did.
Could you come over here a moment, sir?
What is it, Ferriby?
While you were seeing the doctors off with the corpse, I was having a look round. Do you see these wheel marks?
I do indeed. Looks as though the car had been driven off the gravel onto the grass for quite a distance.
And then look, you can see where it came off the grass and back onto the gravel again, pointing towards the house.
There's a patch of oil along the road, sir, and I found a couple of matches and a broken cigarette. Look.
An American cigarette. Now keep that, Totty, and the matches.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's go up the drive and see if we can find any footprints coming from the grass onto the gravel. If we find them at all, they'll be just above the place where the car left the road. Yeah, there was no sign of a struggle where the body was found.
You think he was attacked in the car, sir?
That's beginning to look like it, yes.
Where is the car, if it comes to that?
Well, the chief constable told me it was picked up in a lane about 2 miles from the village. They're supposed to be bringing it along. Ah, that'll be it, I think. Go and tell the driver to stop there, Totty. I don't want these tracks confused.
Yes, sir.
And have a look on the road and see how far it corresponds with the marks on the drive.
Right, sir.
Yes, lucky it rained in the night. Kept the marks nice and clear. Well, come on, Ferriby. Let's follow these tracks and see where they lead. Well, Totty, any luck?
It's the same car, sir. No doubt about it. There's a chip out of one of the tire treads. Plain as anything it is.
Did you find any footprints in the car?
No, but there's a deep scratch on the boot. Here, look.
Yes, the car's closed now, but my theory is that at the time of the murder, it was open. Somebody jumped on the back and made that scratch.
Yeah.
Look, the hood's been closed so clumsily that all the straps are hanging loose.
And the clips in the hood haven't met. I think you've got it, sir.
As I see it, the murderer put the cloth round the victim's neck at the point where the car left the drive. That would account for his going onto the grass verge.
Yes.
Then whoever killed the doctor drove it back onto the gravel where that patch of oil is that you noticed, Totty.
Yeah.
Whoever it was took out a cigarette.
And broke it and threw it away?
That's right. Took out another and lit it after two attempts, your two spent matches. And then drove the car to the place where it was found. The question is, why on earth did the murderer leave Amersham's body in Priory Fields when he could have taken it in the car and disposed of it? Or at any rate, removed it from the scene of the murder.
Didn't the chief constable say something about the local coppers having seen the car pass?
Yes, at 2:30. But the hood was up there and he didn't see the driver. But it did establish the time. Now, Amersham left Mark's Priory around midnight. He was killed within 2 minutes of leaving and dragged over to where he was found. Here, let's have another look at the car.
The dashboard clock's been smashed. And there's some mud scratches on the windscreen.
Now, when the cloth went round his neck, he must have thrown his foot up to get a purchase. Those are his footprints you can see on the windscreen.
There's a deep mark on the carpet just here, like a heel print.
Yes, that's where he was pulled out of the car. Let's go back and look at that oil patch again. Yes, I thought so. Look, there's a long mark in the grass. It leads straight to the bushes where the body was found. Yeah, that's that then. Now, I think it's about time to put in an appearance at Mark's Priory. Come on, you two.
Come on. Yeah, come on, Brooks. We've seen all there is to see. We'd better get back to her ladyship.
Beautiful room, this.
You can have it. Too drafty.
You have no soul, Totty. No feeling for antiquity.
I like comfort, that's all, Ferriby, and comfort don't go with all this stonework and armour.
Fear gives me the creep.
Don't talk nonsense. Oh, I asked that old butler chap, what's his name?
Kelver.
Kelver, to send those two footmen here. Go and see if they're outside.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, now here. Come in, will you, both of you.
Now, come over here where I can see you. Ah, I've seen you before, haven't I, Gilda?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
8 years.
You were here in the days of the late Lord Lebanon.
Yes, sir.
A footman?
Yes, sir.
Got an account at the London and Provincial Bank, haven't you?
Oh, that's very clever of you to find out. Yeah, I am.
Very unusual, isn't it, for a footman to have an account at the London Bank?
Well, some of us are thrifty.
A pretty substantial balance, I hope.
£3,000 or £4,000?
Oh?
Well, I've speculated rather wisely.
What's your salary here?
It's quite a good one.
All right, Gilda. Now, your name's Brooks.
Yeah.
An American citizen, too?
Yeah. But I haven't got a bank account. Some of us American citizens have lost a lot of money lately.
You've been here very long?
6 years.
As a footman?
Sure.
Why is a man like you in service?
Well, I guess I'm naturally servile.
What's that scar on your face?
Huh? Oh, that was done a few years ago. I got in a little roughhouse.
Were you a footman then?
I guess I was.
I'd like to talk to you later.
Sure.
Does that apply to me also, Captain?
No. Do you know this house very well?
Every inch of it.
Well, Lady Lebanon said I might see over it. Perhaps you could show me around.
Yeah. If I can spare the time.
I think we can arrange that. All right, you can go, both of you.
Okay.
If they're footmen, I'm... Ah, here's old Kelver now.
Have you all you require, Inspector?
Yes, thank you, Kelver. Tell me, what do they do, those two men?
They wait on her ladyship, on his lordship, and on Miss Crane.
Oh, is that the lady I saw on the lawn?
Yes.
Ask her if she would mind seeing me, will you, Ferriby?
Yes, sir.
Kelver, you heard nothing last night?
No, sir.
No scream or shout or anything?
No, sir.
You remember the night the chauffeur Stud was killed?
Yes, sir. I remember it.
You heard nothing then?
No, sir. If you remember, I told you when you were here at the time. That is her ladyship's desk.
Yes, I know. To your knowledge, were there any visitors here in this room last night?
No, sir.
None of the servants, for instance, told you about somebody calling quite late?
No, sir. Will that be all, sir?
For the moment, yes.
Very good, sir.
Totty, how often must I tell you not to do that?
Shh.
Look, coming down the stairs. Lady Macbeth herself.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Lady Lebanon.
Ah, Mr. Tanner, isn't it?
That's right. This is my assistant, Sergeant Totty.
Oh, yes. Tell me, Inspector, will you finish your inquiries today?
I don't think so.
I have booked rooms for you at the White Hart.
Oh, thank you. I had already booked them.
Oh.
You told me I might look over the house.
Of course. I'll ring for Brooks. He will show you around the house. But the man appears to have been killed in the park.
Man?
Dr. Amersham.
Yes, he was killed in the park. Well, this house is in the park. It's quite possible somebody may have heard something.
It would be interesting to find out.
Very.
You rang, my lady?
Oh, Brooks. Show Mr. Tanner over the house, will you?
Sure, my lady.
You will excuse me, Lady Lebanon.
Certainly.
Come along, Sergeant.
Now, I can get rid of that scarf. The fire's burning nicely. There. That will soon be gone. Oh, Kelva, come in here a moment, will you?
Yes, my lady.
Shut the door. When are those detectives going?
They gave me the impression they wouldn't be leaving for some considerable time.
Where is Miss Crane?
She was on the lawn, I understand. One of the gentlemen went out to bring her in.
One of the police officers?
Yes, my lady, the young-looking one.
Ask her to be good enough to come to me.
Yes, my lady. If your ladyship will pardon me, I did wish to speak to you on rather an unpleasant matter.
Oh?
Unpleasant for me, that is to say.
Well?
Tomorrow is the end of the month, and I would like your ladyship, with all due respect, to accept my notice.
your notice. Why?
Your ladyship is aware of the very distressing happenings, sensational, if I may call them so, that have brought us a great deal of undesirable publicity.
That is hardly any affair of yours, Calvert.
Pardon me, my lady. In all the years of my service, I've never had my name associated with matters which were, your ladyship will pardon me if I describe them as being of vulgar public interest.
Tell me, Calvert, in what way do these affairs affect you?
Ladies and gentlemen, Lucas Cancer, an upper servant who has figured even indirectly in a murder case. Two murder cases, my lady.
Very well, Calvert. I presume you would like to leave at the end of next month.
If your ladyship pleases.
I suppose Brooks and Gilder have something to do with this.
I'm almost reconciled, or shall I say hardened, to these two persons.
If they're rude to you.
Oh, I assure your ladyship that they've always been most polite, and with the limited means at their disposal, obliging. I assure your ladyship that I have no criticism to offer.
Very well, Calvert. Now go and find Miss Traden for me.
Very good, my lady. Oh, I beg your pardon, my lord.
All right, all right.
Ah, Willie, I wanted to see you.
Oh, I was just going down to the village.
That can wait. Come here.
What is it, then?
Why did you go to London this morning?
Because I damn well wanted to.
Willie.
Oh, sorry, Mother, but really, you treat me as if I were a baby.
You went to Scotland Yard. Now, that was very tiresome of you, Willie. Why did you go?
There are things happening in this place that are getting on my nerves. I mean, I'm not a child.
If there is anything the police should know, you may be sure they will know it without your help. It was extraordinarily stupid of you, and it hurt me very much. As for Dr. Amersham...
Yes. Now, what do you think about that, then?
I am not going to discuss it with you. Did you tell the police anything about him?
I told them he was a queer bird and I didn't understand him. I told them there was a lot of things I didn't understand in this house. I don't understand Gilder, I don't understand Brooks, they're the most extraordinary pair.
Are we to have all that again?
Wish to God I'd never come back from India.
Now listen, you will not go to London again unless you ask me. And you are not to speak to the police about anything that happens in this house. You understand?
Yes, Mother.
I would like you to try to conduct yourself with a little more dignity. Policemen and people of that sort are not the kind of men that the 19th Viscount Lebanon can make friends of, you know.
I don't know. They're as good as I am. All this family nonsense. You know that fellow Gilder came up to Scotland Yard?
He did it on my instructions. Is that sufficient?
Yes, Mother.
Very well. Where is Isla?
Saw her outside. She was talking to one of those fellows.
Which fellows?
One of those detectives. As a matter of fact, I saw him in Scotland Yard this morning. Quite a gentleman, he seems.
Hmm. Oh, I want you to sign some checks while you're here.
Blanks again?
I will fill them up.
Oh, isn't it rather stupid? You never give me a check to sign with any figures on it. I do feel I ought to know something about what's
going
on.
Sign four, please. All
right.
That will be sufficient.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you. And please be careful not to blot them.
Mother, I don't know anything about business, but this is a terribly dangerous method. What are these for?
Excuse me, m'lady.
Oh, did you find Miss Crane, Calvert?
Yes, m'lady, but she was talking rather confidentially to the young policeman, and I didn't like to interrupt her.
Tell Miss Crane I wish to see her at once, please, whether she is talking or not.
Yes, m'lady.
Mother... What are we going to do about Isla?
I don't wish to discuss Isla.
You don't want to discuss her, but you want me to marry her, so I should have thought I was entitled to discuss her, however odd she is.
Odd? What do you mean?
Well, of course, she's very sweet and agreeable and all that, and she is a sort of relation, but I'm not in love with her, and I shall never be.
What did you mean by odd?
Well, she is. Walking in her sleep, frightened of her own shadow, jumps when you talk to her.
Well, she's very highly strung, that's all.
Well, I think she's odd.
Did you want me, Lady Levin? Yes, I do. You can go, Willie.
You've been talking to that fellow, Isla. Who does he think murdered poor old Amson?
Willie, you can go.
Seems to be the only thing I can do in this house.
Now, Isla... What is the matter with you?
Nothing. Well, that is, I opened the drawer of your desk this morning and I found a little red scarf there with a metal tag on it.
Why did you open the drawer of my desk?
I wanted the checkbook.
Why do you keep that scarf there? My dear child, you're dreaming. Which drawer? This one? Yeah, there's nothing there. You mustn't let these things get on your nerves.
These things? How can you speak so lightly about it? A man killed like a brute? I hated him. I loathed him. He was always so beastly with me, but nevertheless,
You mean he made love to you? Amersham?
I can't go on staying here. I can't do it.
I sent your mother her quarterly check on Monday. I had such a charming letter from her this morning. She said how wonderful it was to feel safe and secure after the hard times she'd been through.
You know I wouldn't be here a day if it wasn't for her. She doesn't know what I'm doing. She'd rather starve.
Don't be a little fool. I am doing you a very great service. When you are Lady Lebanon, you will find me very broad-minded about your married life. Very broad-minded, you understand that? And now, about that young policeman. I hope you weren't in this state of nerves when you were talking to him.
No, of course I wasn't. He's very charming.
I'm sure he is. He talks very pleasantly. What is his name?
John Ferriby.
Ferriby? One of the Somerset Ferribys? Lord Lesserfield's family? The man who put the leopards in his quarterings, quite without authority.
I believe he does come from Somerset.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't know him, Isla. But, of course, you mustn't speak to him about, Amersham. If he asks you questions...
He hasn't asked me anything. We were talking about people we knew. But Mr. Tanner will ask me questions. What am I to tell him?
My dear, you will tell him just what it is necessary he should know.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't go, Mr. Ferriby. My niece was just telling me you are related to the Lesserfields.
Yes. Yes, he is a sort of relation of mine. Oh, very, very distant. One doesn't worry about that sort of thing when one has to earn a living.
Ah, you should. It's the finest thing in the world to be a member, even a cadet member of a great family. To know that your stock has continued in authority through the ages and will go on through thousands of years. Tell me, does Lord Lesserfield still quarter the leopards?
Quarter the... In his coat of arms. Yes, I believe he does.
Well, that is very wrong of him. Very wrong. I don't think well of him for that.
Good Lord. She belongs to the Middle Ages.
No, she belongs to this age.
Quartering and coats of arms? I thought that stuff was dead. Miss Crane, do you mind if I ask you a question?
I told Lady Lebanon that you didn't ask me any questions.
And I'm letting you down. Well, it's quite a friendly question.
Well?
Why are you so nervous?
Am I?
Yes, you are. All the time you seem to be looking round as though you expected something horrible to appear over your shoulder.
I'm afraid of the police.
But why?
No. It's what happened last night I'm afraid of, really.
Yes, I understand that. But you've been like this for a long time, haven't you?
Who told you?
Haven't you? Miss Crane, I wonder if I could be of any service to you at all. I wish I could.
Do you really?
I do indeed.
I suppose you want me to confide in you officially.
Well, I ought to say yes. My job is to worm out every little secret you've got, but I'd hate myself if I did it.
Well, I have no secrets. Do you know, you're not my idea of a policeman.
Oh, that may be rude or complimentary. I think I'd rather it were rude.
And Sergeant Totty isn't my idea of a sergeant.
Well, Sergeant Totty's a very brave fellow. He got his promotion for tackling two armed burglars single-handed.
Really? Mr. Ferriby, what do you mean when you say that you'd like to be of service to me? What could you do for me?
Well, I could probably take away the cause of your fear. You're not really frightened of the police, are you?
Of you?
Well, I wasn't thinking as an individual, but as part of the machine. You can't very well be afraid of me.
Why not?
I don't know. I suppose you could be, but You're much too sensible. Now, you're not really afraid of me, are you?
No. Nor of the police. Nor of anything.
What is it?
There's someone on the stairs.
Oh, I'll go and see. No. Well, there's nobody there. Are all you people afraid of being spied on? When Lord Lebanon came to Scotland Yard, he had the same fear. Miss Crane, there's something in this house that's got you all down. What is it?
Come away from that desk, please. There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Was there something there?
No. Well, what could there be? What a fool I am. Why, I don't wonder you think I'm a nervous wreck. Tell me, is Mr. Tanner very clever?
Best detective at Scotland Yard, I should think. He's got an uncanny instinct for the truth.
I wonder, do you think he suspects anybody?
Everybody, I should imagine.
Listen, suppose someone knew who committed this horrible murder and didn't tell the police. Is that an offence? I mean, would it be a crime?
Yes. Yes, the person who knew might be charged with being an accessory.
Oh, my God.
Any man or woman who knows anything ought to tell. Has Inspector Tanner questioned you?
No.
It might be easier to tell me.
I don't know. Why should I know? You think because I'm jumpy? Well, don't these things get on your nerves?
Well, cases like this?
Yes.
Well, no. Rather unfortunate if they did, wouldn't it?
They really don't matter, do you?
This case matters.
Why?
Oh, well, it does a lot.
I suppose you've got a very matter-of-fact name for this dreadful thing. Case number 6 or something like that.
No. To me, it's the case of the frightened lady.
You mean me?
Yes.
Naturally, I'm frightened. My nerves aren't like yours.
Something's burning. A piece of cloth. Anybody dropped a cigarette on the carpet?
I don't know, have they?
Well, it seems to come from the fireplace. Yes. Yes, somebody's been burning stuff here. A piece of cloth. Look, you can still see the fiber. You can smell it now, can't you?
No. Yes. I don't know.
Hello? What are you burning?
What's this in the grate, Tuffy?
Looks like a bit of linen.
I'll poke it out with this.
No, no. Don't touch it. Do you see that little bit of metal where the corner was? It's melting, but you can see it.
Yes. Yes, I see it. Where's Tanner?
Still upstairs somewhere. Who put that on the fire? Do you know, miss?
No. Put what on the fire?
It couldn't have been there long. The flame only just have reached it when I smelt it burning.
Ever seen a red cloth about this house with a little metal tag in the corner?
No! I never saw anything of the kind, ever.
Well, well, well. She's very emphatic. I better see if I can find Tanner.
Much too emphatic. Hello? Someone else has smelt something.
Is there something burning here?
Have you put anything in this stove, Kevlar?
No, sir. I never replenish the fires.
I know, but do you put anything on them?
No, sir. Is there anything I can get for you, sir?
No, no. Nice old house, this. Have you been here long?
18 months, sir, but I'm leaving next month.
To better yourself?
It would hardly be respectful to her ladyship to say I was. But I don't like this part of the country. To be perfectly frank with you, sir, it hardly adds to my prestige to be associated with this crime.
Naturally. Nice lot of servants here?
Oh, yes, sir.
Two fine, strapping footmen.
As you say, sir, they are very strapping.
Good servants, I suppose?
Well, yes, I have very little to do with them.
How long have they been here?
They were before my time, sir.
Good fellows in the servants' hall?
They never come to the servants' hall, sir. They go on duty when we are locked up.
Oh, I see. When you are locked up. Sounds as if you got into a bit of trouble.
Oh, no, sir. The servants' quarters are in the east wing. From 8 o'clock, we are not in this part of the house at all.
Oh, I see. That's funny. You mean you couldn't get here if you wanted?
Exactly, sir.
You get many people here at nights?
I'm not able to tell you that, sir.
I've got an idea that Dr. Amersham used to call here a lot.
I believe he did, sir. But I never saw him here at night.
I suppose you've heard all sorts of funny noises, haven't you?
No, I haven't, sir.
Ever come down in the morning and saw signs of a Barney?
I beg your pardon?
Any signs of a lot of people being here, having a thick night. Illicit recreation.
Well, sir, it's hardly becoming in me to discuss my employer's affairs, But there was one morning.
Oh?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, sir. It looked as though there'd been a free fight. Some mirrors were broken and a chair smashed and wine glasses thrown about the floor. And Gilda, the footman, had a black eye. And I'm told, though I've only got the word of poor Mr. Studd to go on...
That's the chauffeur who was killed.
Yes, poor fellow. I'm told that Dr. Amersham was rather the worse for wear the next day. There is certainly something happening in this house, sir, which I cannot fathom. His lordship is treated as though he had no existence. His wishes are ignored. In my opinion, he is nothing better in this house than a prisoner.
Oh.
They never let him out of their sight. I have had instructions. Instructions I very much resent, though they have been given to me by her ladyship. I have to listen to any telephone call he makes.
Yes.
If he has a servant he trusts, that servant is discharged. The only man with whom he was friendly was Studd, who would have done anything for him. Studd was murdered. I've never expressed my suspicions before, and I trust Mr. Totty, or should I say Sergeant?
Sergeant.
I trust this will go no further. There is something in this house, some dreadful force that is beginning to get on my nerves. I would gladly sacrifice a month's salary to be able to leave tonight.
Oh, I didn't know anyone was in here.
Anything wrong, miss?
No. No. I just remembered a book I wanted.
You look very white.
Do I?
Do you want me, miss?
No, Gilda, I don't want you.
Oh, I thought I heard you call out.
I didn't speak. Would you go, please? I don't want you, I tell you.
Right, thank you, Brooks.
Hello. What's the matter with Miss Crane, Totty?
She came flying in here as if somebody was after her, and then this bird came in.
You know, you look ill, young lady. You want to see a doctor.
I don't want to see a doctor. I'm all right now. I was rather upset, but that's understandable, isn't it?
Did Gilda frighten you?
No. Nothing frightened me, really.
I see. Well, Gilda, we don't want you for the moment, understand?
Okay, Gov. Okay.
Odd, isn't it?
Very odd.
Did Ferriby find you, by the way?
No.
Something we wanted to show you. Oh, blast. Here's her ladyship. It'll keep.
No, Willie, you are not to go down to the village.
Oh, very well, Mother.
Well, Mr. Tanner, has Brooks shown you over the house?
Every room except one, Lady Lebanon. The lumber room on the first floor.
The lumber room?
One of the best positions in the house. It's a queer place for a lumber room.
Well, really, it's a store where I keep one or two valuables.
Your man has the key of it.
No. It was the room where my husband died. It hasn't been opened since that day.
Oh, I say, Mother, well, I'm sure I've seen it open.
You are quite mistaken, Willie. That room has never been open, and you've never seen it open.
Well, I'd like to see it open.
I'm afraid you can't.
I'm afraid I must insist.
Well, there's nothing there but a few pictures.
Nevertheless...
I should have imagined that the scope of your inquiry lay outside this house.
The scope of my inquiry lies just where I wish it to lie, Lady Lebanon.
Honestly, Mother, I do think he's right.
Will you be quiet, please?
Oh, very well. It's obvious I'm in the way here.
You realize, of course, that I can get a search warrant.
It would be outrageous if you did. No magistrate in this county would grant it.
Excuse me, sir.
Well, Sergeant?
I'd like to ask this lady a question. Who burned a scarf in that stove this afternoon?
A scarf?
A scarf with a little metal tag in the corner.
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
You can still smell it. The ashes are still there.
Yes. I can see the metal tag melting on the coal. Well?
If something has been burnt, I haven't the least idea who burnt it or what it was.
I'm afraid I'm responsible, my lady. I found some odd bits and ends of stuff lying on the carpet and I put them into the stove.
Oh, of course. I was cutting out a doll's dress for the village bazaar. Do you remember, Isla?
Yes.
It was very foolish of you to put those pieces into the fire, Gilda.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my lady.
Oh, there you are, sir. I was looking for you.
Totty's told me all about it, thank you, Ferriby. Take Miss Crane out, will you? I want to talk to Lady Lebanon.
Certainly, sir. Come along, Miss Crane. You look as if some fresh air would do you good.
Yes, I think it would.
There's another thing I'd like to know.
Well, perhaps I'll find it out for you. All right, Gilda, you may go. Follow that man, Totty, and keep your eye on him.
It'll be a pleasure.
Do I understand you have something to ask me?
Yes, about the murder of Dr. Lester Amersham.
I think I've told you everything I know.
I don't think so, Lady Lebanon. When did you last see Dr. Amersham alive?
I didn't see him this morning.
Well, that I realize. He wasn't alive this morning. Now, the medical evidence is that he was killed last night, probably about midnight. When did you last see him alive?
Yesterday morning. Or it may have been the day before.
He was here at 11 last night, probably until within a few minutes of his death. He was here in this room, talking to you.
You have been questioning my servant.
Naturally.
Well, I think it would have been more proper if you had come to me first.
Well, I have come to you, and you've told me it was yesterday morning you saw him, or it may have been the day before. Now, here's a man murdered. It's rather an impressive fact.
I don't follow you.
Well, if you had a friend who soon after you saw him met with a fatal accident, wouldn't you say immediately, why, I was only speaking to him an hour before.
Dr. Amersham was not a friend. He was a very self-willed man who saw nobody's point of view but his own.
So the fact that he was murdered within a few hundred yards of this room really doesn't matter.
That is a little insolent, Mr. Tanner.
You may call it what you like, but doesn't it strike you, Lady Lebanon, that your own attitude is peculiar? I won't say arrogant. Look, I'm a detective officer investigating the murder of Dr. Amersham. You tell me you can't remember when you saw him last, although he was with you up to a few moments of his death. You suggest that you can't fix the time because he was not a friend of yours, but just a self-willed man. If he wasn't a friend, what was he doing here at 11?
He came to see me as a doctor.
At your request?
No. He dropped in.
At 11 o'clock at night?
I had a touch of neuritis in my arm.
But you didn't send for him?
No.
He just guessed you had neuritis and drove down from London in his car to treat you. Did he write a prescription?
That is a matter which concerns me.
He left you at 12 and drove down the Long Avenue. That's what you call it, isn't it? Halfway down, somebody jumped on the back of his car and strangled him as he sat at the wheel.
I know nothing whatever about that.
The car from which he was evidently dragged was found abandoned at the other side of the village.
Oh, really? I'm not interested.
Lady Lebanon, you've known this man for years. He was a constant visitor, your own doctor and friend, and you're not interested in his brutal murder?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, of course. It was an awful thing to have happened.
I'm glad you think that. What did Dr. Amersham know?
I don't understand you.
Your last words to the doctor as he left the door were these. Tell them if you dare, and don't forget that you're as deeply in it as anybody. You've always wanted to handle Willie's money. Well, they may not be the exact words, but they are the sense of the words. What was he deeply in? What did you dare him to tell?
My maid told you, of course. An untrustworthy girl to whom I gave notice this morning. If you listen to discharged servants, Mr. Tanner...
I listen to anybody. That's my job. How long was your husband, the late Lord Lebanon, ill before he died?
15 years.
Who attended him?
Dr. Amersham.
Although he was ill so long, he died rather suddenly, didn't he? I've got the particulars of the certificate here. It's signed by Lester Amersham, MB, LRCP, MRTS. Now, during his illness, you administered your husband's affairs, you and Dr. Amersham.
Yes.
Why did you marry again?
That isn't true.
You married Lester Charles Amersham at the Petersfield Parish Church 3 months after your husband's death. Why did you keep the marriage secret?
Who told you?
Somerset House told me. Well?
It was forced on me. He blackmailed me into marriage.
Oh, how?
He blackmailed me. That's enough.
Well, what hold did he have on you? Had you broken the law?
I know that he had. He was a thief and a forger, and he was kicked out of the army.
He was here last night at 12. He threatened you and was killed a few minutes later, and you're not very interested.
Why should I be? I'm glad he's...
You're glad he's dead? And then you suddenly remembered something, and you weren't so glad.
That's absurd.
Now, as to your first husband, Mrs. Amersham...
I shall be glad if you will call me Lady Lebanon.
Who saw the late Lord Lebanon after his death?
Dr. Amersham.
Did you?
No.
Did anybody else?
Gilda and Brooks.
Nobody else?
No. They did everything. No outsider was called in.
I see. And the doctor signed the certificate. This morning, my interest in this case was academic. Now, I'm very interested in you and in this house. And in the room which you say is never opened. Have you got the key? I've got an idea. I may be wrong. That Dr. Amersham's hold over you had something to do with that locked room. Now, am I right?
No. It had something to do with my past.
It took an effort to say that. But it isn't true. You're one of those people one reads about. Blood proud. Oh, by the way, you must be a Lebanon yourself.
How wonderful of you to realize that. Yes, I married my cousin. I go back in direct line to the fourth Baron.
Amazing.
The family has come from most ancient times, Mr. Tanner. Before there was a history of England, there was a history of the Lebanons. And it will go on. It must go on. It would be wicked if the line were broken.
Amazing.
You said that before, Mr. Tanner.
Well, it's getting late. I don't think I can do very much more tonight. I have a few inquiries to make in the village.
Perhaps if you come tomorrow, we'll show you our mysterious room. Goodbye then, Mr. Tanner.
I'll collect the sergeants. It's getting dusk. I'd rather not walk across the Priory Field in the dark.
Are you going, Mr. Tanner?
Mr. Tanner is staying at the White Hart. O'Kelva, will you put this into the safe?
Yes, m'lady.
Don't go tonight. For God's sake, don't go.
Have you got a car, Mr. Tanner?
I've decided not to go just yet, Lady Lebanon. I hope you don't mind.
I see. No doubt you know what you are doing.
Cold in here.
Shall I put some coal on, my lord?
Would you please, Sergeant?
Yes, get drafty, these old houses.
I wish we had central heating, but Mother won't hear of it. She's furious at your staying tonight. She went for me and said I was responsible, which of course I wasn't. But I'm very glad you are, all the same.
Thank you, Lord Lebanon. Oh, by the way, where's Miss Crane?
Oh, she's gone to bed, I think. She's not terribly sociable. I'm going to have a very dull time when I'm married. She's awfully kind and all that, but honestly, we have nothing in common. I'll tell you who else are sick about your staying. Gilda and Brooke.
Oh.
If you must hang about, Gilda, you can make yourself useful and bring us some drinks.
What would you like, my lord? A whiskey and soda?
Yes.
Should I bring one for you, Mr. Tanner?
Yes, please.
And me, if you don't mind.
Okay, Sergeant.
Lord Lebanon, do you remember telling me this morning that you hoped to be alive to see me if I came to Mark's Priory? Now, what did you mean by that? Have you had any sort of threat, or has anybody attempted to hurt you?
No, not directly, but
there was a jamboree here one night. Somebody smashed the furniture, broke up the glass.
Yes, I know about that.
When was this?
Some time ago. It was Culver who told me about it. The place looked as if there'd been a pretty wild party, didn't it?
I wish there were a few wild parties. This place is like a mausoleum. And after the wonderful time I had in India, you know, I've hardly spoken to a girl since I've been back. Except Isla.
Oh, by the way, have you got a portrait of your father?
Hmm? No. And funnily enough, there isn't one in the house.
Really?
I came across a snapshot taken in the grounds. He was in his invalid chair. It must have been taken a couple of years before he died. Mother snatched it out of my hand and burned it.
That was an odd thing to do, wasn't it?
No, my mother does do odd things at times.
Have they ever kept you out of the way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever had a feeling you're being kept out of the way while something was on?
Sometimes, yes. And I'll tell you how they keep me out of the way. I was in here after dinner one night, and Gilda brought me a whiskey and soda. Now, I remember drinking it, and the next thing I remember was waking up in my room in the dark. The door was locked. I tried to get out. I had a splitting headache. And when I came round and they came up to me, they said that I'd fainted. I never fainted in my life. That was the night of the party. They tried to tidy up before I got down, but they couldn't hide it all.
There you are.
Did they explain what had happened?
Not a word.
Why aren't you in bed, Willie? Where is Gilda?
Oh, I've sent him for a drink, Mother.
I'm afraid we're being a nuisance to you, Lady Lebanon.
I'm afraid you are, Mr. Tanner. You would have been so much more comfortable at the White Hart. Where is Mr. Ferriby? I hope he's been sensible and gone to the inn.
Ferriby's making a few inquiries in the village. He'll be back very soon.
Here's your drinks.
How often have I told you to bring in the decanter and the siphon?
Willie.
Damn it all, Mother. It isn't civilized.
Have you discovered anything new, Mr. Tanner?
No, nothing at all.
Willie, I think you should go to bed.
All right, Mother, in a few minutes.
Come with me, Gilda. There's something wrong with one of the library windows. Shut the door, Gilda. Do you think we can get rid of these men?
Afraid not. And Brooks is getting cold feet. Says he's going to quit. Now, these texts are frightening him.
Do they frighten you?
I'm frightened of nothing, ma'am. I'm in it now, and I'll go through with it.
Tell Brooks there'll be £1,000 for him if we get this thing over without discovery.
You think we will?
We must. Now, listen. What I want you to do is this.
I say, Tanner, would you mind tasting this whiskey?
Oh, of course.
Has I tasted stuff like that before? Bitter?
Yes.
Does yours taste like that?
No.
But I'm not drinking this. Let's see what it does to the flowers. They must be planning something for tonight, and they want me out of the way. I wonder what they're going to do to you.
They'll do nothing to us.
Don't be too sure. Amersham was confident, and look what happened to him. Well, I suppose I'd better get off to bed.
Go with him, Totty, and see him safely to his room.
Right. Lead on, my lord.
Oh, there you are, Mother.
Good night, Willie.
Good night.
You know your rooms, Mr. Tanner?
Yes, thank you.
I suppose you'll be waiting up for Mr. Ferriby?
Yes.
Well, good night. I'll leave you to lock up, Gilda.
Yes, my lady.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Tanner, if you want to get into the grounds during the night, there's a small door here into the rose garden. I'll show you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Brooks.
Yeah?
He didn't drink that stuff.
Well, sure he didn't drink it. You made it too strong. I told you he'd taste it.
Oh, he's getting wise to it. Has he been talking?
Yeah, somebody told him about the roughhouse and Tanner questioned the boy. He knew he'd been doped. Well, that's serious. Did you talk to him?
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about.
Says you. There's a hell of a lot to worry about. I don't like these English cops. They're getting wise to what's been happening here. I'm getting scared. If the truth comes out, we might get a lifer.
Shh. Is the sergeant coming back?
Hello, the brothers Mick and Muck.
Is there anything I can do for you, sir?
No, thank you. I suppose you'll be up all night.
Well, if you're going to be up all night, sir, we'll be up all night. Now bring the tray, would you, Brooks?
Okay.
I could do with a nice cuppa.
Oh, Mr. Totty.
Me lady.
Mr. Tanner has gone into the garden. I do hope you'll be comfortable.
Thank you, very kindly.
Mr. Totty, I was rather rude to you this evening.
Think nothing of it.
I'm very sorry, but I was a little distrait.
It's the weather.
Oh, yes, I suppose so. You are a sergeant, aren't you?
That's right.
Will you forgive me if I ask you whether you receive a very large salary? I mean, yours must be a very important job.
Well, it's important, but they try to crab it.
To disparage it.
Yes.
I should like to know just what is happening and what the police think about this case. I suppose there are things arising every few minutes. Clues or whatever you call them.
Oh, yes, I've heard a few myself.
Have you?
Well, in a way.
I suppose when you make a new discovery, you tell Mr. Tanner.
Naturally.
He was very curious, rather stupidly so, I thought, about that room I didn't want him to see. And do you remember?
Yes.
Perhaps he's not quite as clever as you are.
Well, I wouldn't altogether say that.
It's Suppose you went to him and said, I've seen inside this room, and there is nothing there but a few old pictures. Now, that would satisfy him, wouldn't it? It would save me a lot of bother.
I dare say it would.
One feels so helpless against trained and skillful men from Scotland Yard. Naturally, they see something suspicious in the most innocent actions. And it is nice to know that one has a friend at court. Well, good night, Sergeant Totty.
Good night, milady. One moment. You've left your money behind.
I don't remember leaving any money behind.
Better take it, milady. You never know when you may want it.
I was hoping you might want it. After all, £200. It's rather a pity.
You never said a truer word. It is rather a pity.
What's rather a pity?
That I don't want a couple of £100. She doesn't want that room open.
I never imagined she did. And she offered you money?
She left it behind. I called her back and gave it to her.
And what did she say?
Well, what could she say?
She doesn't want that room opened. Well, we'll open it tomorrow.
All right, Toddy, let's relax for a moment. What's your theory?
They're using this place as headquarters for a gang.
Oh, nonsense. What do they want a gang for when they have all the picking in the world? Lebanon paid over £300,000 in death duties.
It costs them a bit to die, doesn't it?
Oh, hello, Ferriby. Well?
You were quite right about Amersham. He's got a fine reputation in the village. He's been paying alimony to quite a number of unofficial wives. I saw one of them tonight. You know, that man had everything except taste. Do you want particulars?
No, they'll do in the morning. I wonder if she knew.
Who?
Oh, nothing. Help yourself to a drink, Ferriby.
No, thanks. I suppose Miss Crane has gone to bed.
She has, old man.
Oh. This is a horrible place, isn't it?
I don't know, boy. I've seen worse.
Do you remember that night we spent at the cat's meat shop waiting for Harry the Fiddler?
Oh, yes.
God love a duck. Cats used to follow me about for weeks after.
Oh, I don't know. I prefer almost anywhere to this place. The whole house seems full of ghosts.
Quiet. Look. It's Miss Crane. Walking in her sleep again.
The cloth is here. In this drawer. It ought to be burnt.
Here, I say.
Shh.
Where's the cloth? It ought to be burnt. You killed him with that. I saw you come into the house with it in your hand. Where is that cloth? It was here. It must be burnt. I saw it in your hand. Who is it?
It's Lady Lebanon.
Just a minute.
Is anything the matter?
No. Do you always sleep with that light on?
Yes, lately.
It's very bad for you.
I loathe this room.
Why, you've never said so before.
It's got secret doors, hasn't it? I heard Mr. Tanner talking about it. Where are they?
The man who planned this room, Percy Lebanon was his name, was rather eccentric. He never saw anybody. They used to pass his meals through a panel. Isla, you must wake up. I want to talk to you.
I'm so awfully sleepy. Why did you lock the door?
You walked in your sleep again tonight.
Did I? Oh, I wish I didn't. I never did that before.
Before what?
Before that terrible night. And the furniture was broken and Dr. Amersham. Oh, I thought he was killed.
If you hadn't come down, you'd have seen nothing.
What time is it?
Just after 2.
Haven't you been to bed?
No. Isla, anything may happen tomorrow. I may be... Listen, I want you to marry Willie. Do you hear me?
Where?
Today.
Today? But we couldn't marry at such short notice.
I've had the license here for a week.
Why today?
Willie is the last of the Lebanons, the last link in the chain. He's a weak link. Oh, there was another weak link, Jeffrey Lebanon. He married his cousin Jane Sycamore. She left him at the altar, but she had several children.
How dreadful.
No. Jane was the greatest of the Lebanon women. You realize you are a Lebanon? Whatever happens, your children will be Lebanons. When you are married to Willie, they will bear the Lebanon name. The line will go on. If you find your married life with Willie impossible, you will find me very understanding.
No, I can't do
you
it.
You not only can do it.
There's somebody in the corridor.
It's Gilda, I think. He has been outside your door all the evening. These men are getting out of control. I may not hold them after tonight. That is another reason. Gilda must not know you are going to be married. That is the one thing he must not know. You understand? Now, go to sleep now. And remember what I've said.
I don't want to marry Willie. I don't want to marry him.
Any damn ways into this room.
Shh. Now she's dead asleep.
Well, if you touch her, she'll wake, and if she wakes, she'll raise hell.
Quiet. Now she's right out. Hey, I think she's doped. Hey, come on, help me get this rug around her.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's it.
Where are you going to take her?
To my room.
Does Lady L know?
Not to hell with her. I'm going to have my way tonight.
Look, if there's any trouble tonight, by God, I'll shoot. I'm not going to take any more risks. Hey. My gun's gone.
You were a fool to have a gun on you. You sure you had it?
Yeah, I had it all right. Oh. Yeah,
all the world knew you had it. Look, I warned you about that. Now, come on, help me lift her. Get over my shoulder. That's it. Yeah, I'll carry her out. You stay here, straighten the bed.
Yeah, okay. I swear I had that gun on me. Who put that light out? Gilder? Is that you? Oh, put on the light. Put it.
It's nearly a quarter to three. It's getting cold in this room, eh, Toddy?
Oh, say it is.
Where is Footman?
Oh, I haven't seen him for nearly an hour. Where's Ferriby?
He's in the grounds. I let him out through the garden door just before I went to bed.
Better him than me. I'm glad he's not sitting up. I don't want to talk about Miss Crane all night.
Who is it? Oh, it's you, Gilda. What's the matter?
Could you come, sir? It's Brooks. There's been an attempt on him.
What?
Well, someone tried to strangle him with this red scarf.
Good God, where is he?
In Miss Crane's room. I rushed in and fell over him. Miss Crane, she's gone.
Oh, where's she?
Well, she's somewhere in the house. Very likely she changed her room. She was rather nervous tonight.
Toddy, go and look for her.
Okay, sir.
Come on, Gilda. No funny business.
Well, what's all the excitement?
There's been an attempt on Brooks' life and Miss Crane's missing. Go after Toddy and Gilda. They're looking for her.
All right.
Oh, I beg your pardon, my lord. Well, that's all right. I said, did you hear anything? Where's my mother?
In her room, I should imagine. What did you hear?
Oh, a sort of choking noise. Somebody else was attacked tonight, weren't they?
I believe so.
I know. I wish it didn't happen. You know, Brooks wasn't a bad fellow.
Oh, he's not dead?
Not?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad. Inspector, don't you think it's about time this line was wiped out?
This line? I don't understand what you mean.
This sort of thing has been happening for heaven knows how many years. The Lebanons have always been like that. My father was like that. He was 15 years in that room. Mad as a hatter.
Yes, I guess that.
But he never strangled anybody. The first time I saw it done was in Pune. A little chap slipped up behind a big man and put a cloth over his neck and... by God, he was dead. Fascinating. I tried it on an Indian girl. She went out like that. Extraordinary, isn't it?
Yes, very.
You, see, this scarf, I've got dozens of them. I brought them back from India. I'm not a big fellow, but I'm terribly strong. You feel my arm.
Quite a muscle.
Yes, people would never dream it about me. They say, oh, look at that little whippersnapper. Of course, they made an awful fuss about this Indian girl. The fellows in the regiment didn't realize I had the strength to do it. It was a tremendous surprise to them. These Babu people had to be squared, and Mother sent Amersham to bring me home. You know those two fellows? They used to look after my father. Of course, they're not real footmen.
Yes, I guess that.
They sort of... they look after me. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
You know that room my mother wouldn't show you? Well, that's all padded, you know, rubber cushions all around the walls. I have to go there when I realize things.
When you get a little tiresome.
When I realize things, I know what I'm saying. You know, when I'm quite well, I'm mad. I don't realize anything. It's only when I get excited that my brain gets clear. Don't touch me.
I want a light. Come on. Be the perfect host.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
Thank you.
My mother has been marvelous. She's been administering my father's estate when it should have been under commission, whatever that means. You know more about the law than I do, and she'd have got into awful trouble.
Why were you so unkind to Stud?
Stud?
The chauffeur.
Oh, yes, I'm terribly sorry about that. He's a good fellow, but I'm afraid of Indians.
Why?
Well, some of them tried to kill me. They were very angry about this Eurasian girl. Poor old Stud. He didn't know about this beastly ball at the village. And I saw this Indian and I was horribly frightened. I'll show you something. You swear you won't tell anybody?
I swear.
Look. A gun. The first one I've ever been able to get. I took it out of Brooke's pocket. It was rather clever, wasn't it? I've always wanted one. You can't strangle yourself, you know. It's rather difficult, and they look so ugly. Sometimes I think that the whole line ought to be wiped out. All their escutcheons and their shields. Carry on the line. That's what Mother's always saying. Isn't it ridiculous?
What, sir?
Whom do you mean? Me? Why do you say that?
Well, I've got a boy about your age.
You don't like me, do you?
Yes, I do. I'm a very good friend of yours.
No, you're not.
I was very nice to you at Scotland Yard.
So you were. Yes. Clever of me to go up there, wasn't it? I mean, that was the last thing you'd expect.
The very last.
I wonder where Gilda put her.
Who?
Isla. She was looking awfully like that Indian girl this afternoon. I went up behind her and put my arms around her. Didn't you hear her run down the stairs? She knows about me. That's why she's frightened. She came downstairs the night I smashed up this place. Well, I don't remember doing it, but I suppose I must have done it. I nearly got Amersham that night. And last night, when I did get him, she saw me coming back into the house. I'm terribly strong. You wouldn't think so, would you?
Oh, yes, I would. The first time I saw you, I thought, this fellow's pretty powerful.
Did you really? Smart, aren't you? I say, I've worried them tonight by not drinking that bromide. Now, there are lots of ways of getting out of that room of mine. They don't know, but I do. I fooled them lots of nights.
Yes, I expect you fooled them pretty often. Well, I'm going to bed.
You're not going to bed. You're pretending you're not scared, but you are. I frighten people.
Well, I'm not frightened. Now, be sensible and give me that gun. Why do you want to fool about with a thing like that?
Well, there are lots of things I could do with this gun. I could end the line with it.
Willie, what are you doing?
Give me that gun.
No, I won't. I've always wanted one. I've asked you dozens of times.
Give it to me.
I've told him everything.
Give it to me.
No.
Oh,
it's Genevieve. Here, quick, Inspector. Sir, let me have that.
Oh, no!
What is it? What's happened?
It's all over, I'm afraid, Miss Crane.
Well?
He's dead, poor Lana. What a tragedy.
Dead. 10 centuries of Lebanons and no one left to carry on the name. 1,000 years of being great. Gone out like a candle in the wind.
In The Case of the Frightened Lady by Edgar Wallace, adapted for radio by Cynthia Pugh, the part of Lady Lebanon was played by Valerie White. Chief Inspector Tanner by Simon Lack, Lord Lebanon by William Eagle, Elsa Crane by Bethel Calder, Sergeant Totty, Louis Stringer, Sergeant Federby, Michael Spice, Gilder, Anthony Hall, Brooks, Warren Stanhope, Briggs, Will Layton, and Kelver, James Thomason. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Martin C. Webster, and it was the second hearing of Saturday's broadcast.